We've been on this amazing journey of living in victory every day. And, you know, I've been teaching for the last, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And Easter Sunday was great. It was great to see life packed out. A lot of people are on holidays and away and whatever else this week. But it's just great to see how God has been touching people's lives. The encounter that we had, the 24 hours, so many people have come back to say it's been such an amazing experience just encountering God on that. Also the Living Free course. And so we're encouraged, and we know as we take people to God, He helps them and He strengthens them and He builds them up. And that's the amazing thing in what we do here. And this morning, I'm going to be completing my series on being living in victory every day. And this morning, my sermon title, life message title is, I am an overcomer. Can everybody say that with me? I am. Turn on to your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. Eyeball to eyeball. If they're shy, get their glare in your face and say, you are an overcomer. Oh, come on, a little bit more conviction. That's it. Thank you, Lydia. Three men. A German, an Italian, and a Sardaji from Kashmir were about to be executed. The Sardaji was from Kashmir. And the Tsar told them that they had the right to make a final request for a meal before the firing squad came. So they asked the German, what would you like? What do you think the German said? He said, well, give me a nice cold beer. Well, that's not a German accent. Never mind. He requested. So they gave it to him. He drank it, and then they shot him. Next, it was the Italian's turn. He said, give me a huge piece of pizza. My accents are not working this morning, said the Italian. So they brought it to him, this big piece of pizza. He ate it, and then they shot him. Now it was the Sardaji's turn. He says, I want a bowl of snow. That I got right, he said. Snow? But it's summer now. That's fine, I'll wait. As we look at the whole issue of overcoming, I want us to just learn how every day when we face challenges, when we face those things and we feel like in the midst of a good day, sometimes giving up, I want you to be encouraged and to know that God wants you to live in victory every day. And I'm going to begin by reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And I want you to listen to this passage of scripture really, really carefully. I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says, the New Living Translation rather. It says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything? Who dare accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to live for us. And He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything separate us from God's love? I love this question that the writer of the book of Romans, probably was the Apostle Paul, where he wrote this and he said, is there anything in this life that you cannot overcome? Is there anything in this life that can submerge you and keep you submerged and stop you from living life like God intended you to live it? And then he answers that question and he says, no way, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can keep you down. Nothing can keep you under. Nothing can stop you from living the life that God always intended for you to live. God calls us to live as conquerors. Doesn't mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. And this was literally happening when they wrote this. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I love that line. What is it? Say that with me. Overwhelming. No, 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 no. Overwhelming. Overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Victory.
Victory.
No, 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 not, not victory. Victory.
Victory
is ours.
Through Christ,
who loved us.
Loved us.
Now I want you to make it personal.
Overwhelming
victory is mine through Christ, who loves me. Isn't that amazing? And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I love that. That is such a definitive, convincing statement that the Word of God puts out for us. Listen, your ability to overcome, your ability to conquer is not because of what you have exclusively, but it is because of what Jesus has already done through the cross for you. Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ Jesus. Many of us try and fight our battles on our own and wonder why we lose, wonder why we constantly live like a victim. But when you have a relationship with Jesus, all of heaven is behind you to see you win. You will have a battle, which is why the Word of God says victory is yours. It doesn't say you will never have any battles. It doesn't promise us that at all. It says you will have discouraging times. You will have difficulties, even if you may face death or the possible loss of your death for Christ's sake. But even in those times, overwhelming victory is what? Is mine. You can choose to live like a victim or a victor. Ask your neighbor, how do you want to live? You can live under your circumstances or you can overcome them. You can be conquered by your circumstances and challenges, or you can conquer them. Never forget the formidable strength, the supernatural source, the person of God that dwells within you. And every day as you face your day in whatever day it is, God is with you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you are angry, He's with you. When you are upset, He's with you. When you don't feel like forgiving, He is with you. When you feel downtrodden, He is with you. When you are in tears, He is with you. Wherever you are, God is with you and within you. Isn't that amazing? Some of us believe, oh, if I'm failing, God leaves me and He goes away. No, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a promise. God is not a man that He should lie. Men will fail you. Women will let you down. They'll drop you at the altar. Either way, men or female, you know, boyfriends will fail you. Husbands won't be as handsome as they need to be, unlike me or whatever. But whatever it is, you know, God will never let you down. Jesus paid the price for this through His death, through His resurrection. We have the victory. John 14 verse 16 says this, and I love it. It says, if you love me, Jesus says, show it by doing what I've told you to do. I will talk to the Father, and He will provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The godless world cannot make sense of Him because they don't even see. They don't have eyes to see Him. They don't know what to look for, but you know him already because he has been staying with you, and he will be, listen to this, in you. In you. A promise from God. The Holy Spirit dwells where? When all of heaven, when all of hell thought, this is it, Jesus is crucified, he's dead, he's not coming back again, let's party. 3 days later, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that raised God from the dead will raise, amen, he raised Jesus from the dead. In our times of weakness, when we feel like it's time to give in to, when life feels too overwhelming, Jesus says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. It is all that you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. I love that. God's strength comes into its own in my weakness. You see, what does weakness make us do? Weakness forces us to be dependent on somebody else. You know, some of us, may sab kuch kar sakta hai. I don't need you. I don't want you. I can live life by myself. Now, it's good to be independent, but we are also called to be dependent. And our greatest dependency must be on God. People said, oh, you people who believe in God are like people who walk around with crutches. Maybe true, I walk around with a crutch, but at least I know that I can overcome with that crutch. At least I know that I can live in victory with that crutch, because that crutch is God's word that says, in my weakness, I am made strong. You know, when I was ill and I couldn't walk and walking was too painful for me, I would be wheelchaired. And it took me a long time to accept that I needed to get around without pain. I needed to be in a wheelchair. It made me dependent on the wheelchair, but also on somebody to push that wheelchair. It made me completely dependent. I needed to surrender to the structure that was there so that I could live my life better. But some of us are so obstinate. God's got everything worked out for us, but we go our own way. I'll do it my way. And we'll fight. And we'll fight. And we say, God, where are you? And we are fighting. And God, where are you? Why aren't you with me? He says, I'm right here. No, but you're not here, because we are not leaning on him. The moment I sat in the wheelchair, my pain was alleviated. I could go a distance that I could never go before. You see, when you are dependent on God, you can do things you could never do before. Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. The world says weakness is a weakness. I say weakness is acknowledging that you don't have the strength to do everything you need to do. That takes humility. The grace of God, the acronym for it is God's riches at Christ's expense. So how do I live like an overcomer every day? How can I live? I want to tell you the story of Joshua. And some of you may know who Joshua is and some of you may not. So I'm going to tell you his story. Joshua was a young warrior in the Old Testament. And he had taken over from Moses. And he had been given leadership of God's people, a large nation of over 3 million people. And he was to go into Jericho, a fortified city, and he was to take over this fortified city and plunder it so it would become the city that would be given to God's people. And the Bible says that Jericho was shut up as a drum because of the people of Israel. No one was going in and no one was going out. God spoke to Joshua. He said this, listen to what God said to Joshua, look sharply now, look good now. In other words, get into the right attitude, get your brain into the right mode. I've already given Jericho to you. Had he actually got it? Had they actually walked into Jericho yet? But from God's perspective, Jericho was already theirs. And then he commands them to march around the city. All the soldiers circle the city once. Repeat this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns, trumpets in front of the chest, which was the Ark of the Covenant of God. And so Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and told them, take up the chest of the covenant. 7 priests are to carry 7 ram's horns, trumpets leading God's chest. And so they walked around this fortified city that was miles long and was just not, they just could not penetrate it in any way. And they did this for 7 days. And on the 7th day, God instructed them. He said this, when you walk around the wall, say nothing. Just walk around it. Just walk around in silence. I mean, can you imagine 3 million people walking around a city wall in silence for 6 days? And he said, on the 7th day, when you walk around that, at a certain time, I want you to give a shout and blow the trumpets. And on the 7th day, when they gave a shout and blew the trumpets, the Bible tells us that the walls came crumbling down. And what was once a fortified city that no man could break into, because the soldiers had been obedient to God and His word and His instructions, because they had God on their side, they were able to bring a city down and have access to something that was not theirs before. God said, I already given it to you. So the victory was already there. But they had to do it. They had to achieve that victory by walking in obedience around the city. So we see, I want us to pick up some key principles from this story of Joshua. Number one, you have got to believe God's word. My God, the things we believe. I mean, the election times, the rubbish we read in the newspapers, and we believe it. You read the Times of India, it tells you something else. You read the Midday, it says something else. You read the Hindustan Times, it says something else. And we'll believe whatever's put before us, don't we? Modi is like this. Gandhis are like this. Aam Aadmi is like, who do I vote for? Who did you vote for? Is this a good party? We just kind of believe anything, don't you? Come on. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about who you are and what your life is about and what you can achieve? Most of us believe a whole lot of garbage. I'm throwing this out there. You can agree with me or disagree with me. We believe a whole lot of garbage about our lives, about our marriages, about our family, about our situations, about our circumstance, about our future. We just believe whatever anybody tells us. Do you want to live your life like that? Do you want to entrust the future of your life to somebody else? When God's word is there, when we believe God's word, it is always true about you. It is always truth about your circumstances. It is always truth about where you will end up and how you're going to be. Elephants. You like elephants? I'm going to tell you a story about elephants. This is a story about how important it is in being insistent and having the right mind and never, ever giving up on our failures, no matter what you've experienced in the past. A man was spending his holiday in Africa, and one day he watched the elephants passing by. To his great surprise, these strong, mighty animals were held only by a small rope that was tied to their front leg. Obviously, they could easily run away at any moment, but they never did. Then he saw the trainer and he asked him, he said, how could this happen that not a single elephant makes an attempt to break free from this pack? The trainer explained, when the elephants are very young, we use the same size rope to tie them. And at that time, it is strong enough to hold them. Gradually they grow up, they get stronger. Nevertheless, they never try to get away. So they believe, what is it? The elephant has the capacity to believe. They believe that the rope still holds them. The man was stunned. These strong animals could break free anytime, But they did not because they believed it was impossible. What do you believe about your life? Sometimes we act like elephants. We believe anything. Come on, it's time to change that. The second thing is we need to get our attitude. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Believe and think the right things about yourself. You can't live like a pauper and expect to be a king. So many of us have such poor thinking about ourselves. Now, the Bible cautions us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but at least think of yourself highly, but not more highly. You know, some people have tremendous amounts of wealth, but they live like poor people. Some people have tremendous amount of skills, but they present themselves as people that are dithering and have nothing at all. Hum to kuch bhi nahi kar sakta hai, such a humble man. No, he is an IDIOT. No, that's spelled that wrong. You cannot have what you have and not present yourself with the right attitude. When you have a relationship with God, live your life in confidence, with the right attitude that God has called you, that God has purposed your life, that your life has meaning, that you can do something significant, that your life matters here. Believe and think the right things about yourself, because your beliefs fuel your thinking and they shape your attitude. I had a wonderful young friend of ours back in the UK, and we were all buying our cars for the very first time. And they were not that well off. And so they would always buy the cheapest car they could find in a car sale. And here's the deal. This wonderful family, this wonderful lady was a child of God. And yes, they didn't have much money. But whenever she drove round the road and a car more expensive than her came, you know what she would do? She would make way for them. Even if she had what we call in the UK right of way. I asked her one day, I said, why do you do that? She said, oh, my car's so old. What's that got to do with you? Do you get what I'm saying? She had right of way on the road. But if she saw a Mercedes or a fancier Toyota coming, she'd pull over. It was her state of mind that governed how she lived. Come on, what governs how you live? When you walk into the workplace, do you walk in with confidence? When you walk into your building, okay, you don't have a 56-inch plasma screen and the fanciest double-door fridge, but at least you got a fridge and you got a black and white TV. Who cares? At least you're watching something. But do you walk around feeling less than because you don't possess something? Come on, that should never define you. Who you are is who God created you to be. What He divinely deposited within you is who you need to be. Our minds are like putty and they can be easily shaped to believe anything. You go here and they say this about you and you get into that shape. You go here and you get into that shape. And the Bible says, don't be conformed to this wrong thinking. Think about yourself as God sees it. There are so many people out there who will say that you can't. And when they do, simply turn around and say, watch me. That's confidence speaking. That's knowing who you are in God. That's knowing that what God has called you to do, you will. What God has called you to be, you will become. Come on. The third thing you need to do is to obey God's word. Luke chapter 11 verse 20 says, 28, Luke chapter 11 verse 28 says, blessed are those, everybody say, blessed are those, who hear the word of God and keep it. Say this with me, I am blessed when I hear the word of God and I keep it. The word keep it means to do it, to follow it through, to keep the instruction like Joshua did. He was instructed for 7 days, 3 million people to walk around, not 3 million, the whole army, to walk around the walls of Jericho for 6 days silently. On the seventh day, you will blow trumpets and give a shout and the walls will come trembling down. That's what they did, and that is the outcome that they saw. They were obedient to God's word. So when we keep God's word, when we are obedient to the word of God in the Bible, there is always the ability for us to live in victory, even though you will face hard times. Oh, but she is so terrible. Oh, but he did this to me. Oh, but no buts. Put your butt in the right place. All right. Position yourself well and forgive where you need to forgive. Let go where you need to let go. Do what you need to do. Get up and do something. Oh, but if I... No, just get out of bed and do something. Take a step of faith. I'm in this dream center. We could have said, but God, when we have the money. But God, when we have the people. But God, when? And we would still be butting our heads all over the place. Instead, we say, God, you've given us this dream. You will make provision. You want to reach out to poor kids. You want to educate them. You want to give them a sense of purpose and hope. You've called us here to do something meaningful. We're going to start seeing what we can do. And do you know what? In 6 months' time, the money came. It wasn't there when we started. We had zero. Under. But God provided for the money. A whole month's, a whole year's worth of funding. God provided. Isn't that great? See, that's how God works. When you obey God, all of heaven gets behind you. The fourth thing you need to do is to speak God's word. Watch what you say. The things we say about ourselves in our mind to our mirrors in the morning are terrible. We need to speak positively to ourselves because our minds are so messed up with so much garbage. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God, it is living and active, which is why in the next few months, we're going to teach you God's word just as part of what we do. So as you get hold of a scripture each week and you carry that in your spirit and you remember that for yourself. Your words have creative power. They create and change circumstances. Do you know you can get up in the morning and you can declare what kind of a day you're going to have? You can get up in the morning and say, today is going to be a good day. But you don't believe me because you've had so many bad days. You see, your belief is what drives what you do. You change your belief, you change what you... I can see a fear. You don't know what my day was like today. I tried it. It didn't work. Well, I'm not saying that you won't have challenges, but I'm saying it'll be a good day. In other words, God in you will give you the strength to face whatever challenges you have, and you will conquer whatever was set out to defeat you today. You get it? Speak God's word. When you speak God's word into your situations, you speak life. I mean, the things that we listen to people. You go to the doctor. Oh my God, it is such a bad tumor. You've got to accept what he says, but you don't have to dwell on it. You don't have to say, God, this is me. It is over. I'm not going to live anymore. You know, something that got me onto my medication was a doctor. He spoke something. I went to see him in the early stages and I was literally crawling and we didn't know what my illness was. And I walked into this Greek doctor's office and I don't forget this day. And he said, listen, you need to go on steroids because steroids will give you instant, within a week or two, you'll be able to at least walk properly. And I said, no, steroids are too bad. I don't want steroids. I'll become fat. I became fat anyway. But whatever, you know, you'll become fat and whatever else. And I said, no, I don't want them. And I remember crawling out of his office and he said, you have a choice, he said, son. He says, can you run for a bus? And I said, no. Those words spoke to me. I was being obstinate about taking medication that could have helped me and make my life better. He asked me the question, can you run for a bus? And I thought, you know what? Even though I think I'm a hero, actually I can't run for a bus. I'm in so much pain. And I learned I needed to give in certain places so that I could have what I have. You see me today? I'm in pain, but it's not as bad. There's medication, there's the grace of God, there's the healing of God in my life, and a whole lot of determination that keeps me going each day. Any of you that have illnesses know what I'm talking about. But we should never give in, because we need to speak into our circumstances. I would see myself walking. I would say to myself, I am not going to be in this wheelchair forever. And let me tell you, in the UK, we have wonderful wheelchairs. You go to the shopping mall, they are like motorbikes. I would love them. They had snail space and tortoise space. I would be on tortoise space and all my family running behind me in the mall. It was great, the shiniest headlights. I felt like a king on those three-wheelers. But I didn't want to be on them forever. I wanted to be able to walk again. I wanted to be able to. I said, you know what, I'm enjoying the ride, but this is not my destiny. Speak to yourself the things that God says about you. Because when you do, you create your days. You create your days. Remember, there is creative power in your words. The fifth thing is to stand on God's word. Watch where and how you walk. The word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Life isn't about waiting for the storms to pass, but it's about learning to dance in the rain. I like this. It's about learning to dance in the rain. When there's thunder and lightning, take your umbrella out and say, I'm going to dance in this flooded water. And I'm going to enjoy, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. When we stand on God's word, when we take what God has said about us and our circumstances, we speak victory into our lives. You know, whenever we pray with people, whenever we talk to people, we make certain that our words are affirming. We make certain that our words are life-giving. We make certain that our words, as far as possible, rooted in God's word. So when you pray with them, pray for them, you are praying life into their lives. You can do the same for your own life, in your own devotion. Speak life to yourself. And the sixth thing is God's timing. The Bible says, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. You want to live like a conqueror? There are six things that you can do. The first one is this, is what? Believe right. Believe God's word. The second, get the right attitude. The third is you need to obey God's word. The fifth, speak God's word. The fifth thing is to stand on God's word, meaning to base your life on God's word. And the sixth is to keep God's timing. There's a time for everything. A time to laugh and a time to cry. A time to live and a time to die. A time to sing and a time to not saying there's a time to be sad and a time to be happy. There's a time for everything. And in those seasons of your life, you can live like a conqueror, whatever they are. Amen. This morning, as we come to take communion, if you have a relationship with Christ, if you have said, I want to follow Jesus, and you believe in His words, and you have chosen to follow Him, then you can come and partake of the communion. And we're going to play an upbeat song, I Am an Overcomer. And so don't come like, unless that's your groovy walk, come confidently to the communion table and say, God, thank you for what you've done to me. I am an overcomer. Ask your neighbor, what are they? I am an overcomer. God bless you.